Now on today's program, X-Files fanboy Andrew Jupin gets mighty sad as we're talking about the X-Files, colon, I Want to Believe. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Oof. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fine program we like to call We Hate Movies. Mm-hmm. This week on the program, like I said up top, we're talking about that dreaded X-Files sequel, which was from 2008.
X-Files, colon, Cruise Control.
Oh, yeah, might as well be. Directed by Chris Carter.
Could we also call it The X-Files, Is Pedophilia Good? Question mark?
Pedophilia gives you the power to become a psychic.
A saint, almost,
X-Files,
even.
Colon, Catholic Hospital. Get me out of here! Are you kidding me?
Dude,
we
that
spent
whole
that much
subplot.
Time in a fucking, it's not even a subplot. It is the plot of the movie.
Right. X-Files, the stem cell debate.
Not much debate. She just does it.
She does some Googling. Actually, really quick, I just got something from the news desk, which usually goes
please.
To Eric.
Yes.
You know, if you're feeling a little light on We Hate Movies content this month, you might want to check out our episode on Transcendence, which is a Patreon-only episode.
There you go. That's Johnny Depp becoming the internet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just FYI, that's out there.
And then spraying the world with his juices.
And you'll also get Bright and Man of Steel and all sorts of other great episodes.
A lot of movies where people are spraying juices.
Yeah. It's really piling up. Speaking of spraying juices... I want some inseminating aliens in this movie.
Yes.
Yes. Let's get down to brass tacks.
Why is there no aliens in this?
That's a great question. It was 6 years since the show went off the air.
Mm-hmm. No.
10 years since that first movie. The fucking balls on these people. And Chris Carter specifically, to write and direct, co-write and direct, a story that has nothing to do with the overarching conspiracy storyline?
I don't even mind that. But I agree with you. Like, if you're a huge X-Files fan, I'll go around the horn. Andrew's an enormous X-Files fan. You've watched every episode at least twice?
At least twice and a half, almost.
Okay. I'm kind of cursed. I like the X-Files. I've seen most of the episodes.
Sure.
But I checked out of the new stuff. And when Doggett was running around, once Robert Patrick showed up, I was like, you know what, guys? It's
well,
time for
yeah.
Me.
I mean,
was once like you, and it's, while it's not great, I will say that there are some gems in that seasons 8 and 9.
You know, I watched the whole series once.
Okay.
I went all the way through. But I have rewatched like season 1 through 5 episodes like pretty regularly.
Well, that's like the prime X-Files. It's 1 through 5. We're filming in Vancouver. Everything looks miserable. It's great. We have that movie, and that was supposed to be like the end of the series. The movie was so successful, they kept doing the show.
And I've only seen like scoops of episodes.
Oh, okay.
Bits and bobs, as they say.
Bits and bobs, a little bit of spinners and whatnot.
Do you know who Toombs is?
Everlasting Gobstops? Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've seen all of season 1. I've seen just a bunch of random episodes, but definitely I wouldn't say I've seen the whole thing or nearly the whole thing.
I've always been like a cherry picker with this show. Like, ooh, that sounds fun. Ooh, that sounds fun. And skip the next one. The BBC America is doing this thing where it's like, we don't want to program on Mondays, so it's just going to be the X-Files all day.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's what you want. Yeah. There's also a great way. You can find it online that tells you like all the episodes that are like arc specific.
Oh, okay.
So you can just watch the major storyline.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is a fun thing to do. And you don't have to like sit there reading the plot synopses. Mm-hmm. It just gives you the list. So this movie, though, you know, X-Files, back in theaters. I saw the first one in theaters also. I fucking saw this one in theaters.
Oof.
I dragged my poor wife. It was her only exposure ever to the X-Files.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, it was fucking bad, dude. I saw it at the Village East Theater downtown, and I could tell right away I was in for some trouble because it was opening weekend. They had the movie already in a shit-ass upstairs tiny theater.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was like, that means these pre-sales are nothing. And we were like, it was like seriously like the Saturday, like the early evening show, 4 people in the theater. Oof. Including the two of us.
I'll be honest. I think Chris Carter's a really bad director.
Yes. Of course
he
is.
He's terrible.
I'm even talking his TV episodes. I just think he's bad at doing this.
This is the only movie he directed.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Big surprise.
Why would they let him? Why would they let him? I know he's the creator of The X-Files. I know it's his little baby.
Sure. But get a real director.
Yeah.
Get a film school kid who's going to take some chances, maybe.
Or get fucking Rob Bowman back.
We're just talking about Rob Bowman.
Speaking of a film school kid, I really think that this series, and this is my novice opinion, not having seen it all, they should have like handed it off to a new generation, like X-Files,
they
the next generation.
Tried.
That's well.
Did they?
You can sort of make those two Doggett and Reyes seasons more interesting if you just pretend it's X-Files, the new class.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like in that first mini series that they came back with, that season 10, there's Lauren Ambrose and some
from
other
Six
guy,
Feet Under.
Yeah, who are like junior agents, but it comes to nothing.
Lauren Ambrose can't be in that show like that. That's like she looks too much like Gillian Anderson. Come on, I see what you're doing.
Just reboot it. Reboot it.
Yeah, exactly.
Reboot it.
Get Chris Cabin and Eric Siska
exactly
as the two
sexual tension up the wazoo.
Yeah, dude, wouldn't even know what hit you.
The Sex Files, dude.
but I think it's a great concept, and I think there should be new episodes. That's not Mulder and Scully going like, we love each other.
Oh my god,
what
and
about
like
our
the
baby?
Joel McHale shit? I was just dying watching that.
I had to watch David fucking Duchovny dance to a song that said "Badonkadonk."
Oh no!
In the year 2016, holy fucking shit!
But a counterpoint, I think this movie, as what I'll call a cherry picker, as it is. For this show, like just liking the good stuff.
Just picturing you every time you say that you're a cherry picker, by the way, it's you in like a phone company cherry picker, like trying to fix cables after a storm.
I was thinking he was the cherry picker, like a transformer.
Oh, shit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Draw that. That'd look terrible.
It would have to be a total Decepticon, dude, because Steve is so small, then he'd have to be like a huge cherry picker machine. Come on. Steve's a smart car at best.
But here's what I'm saying.
Right.
I think that there's some room here for a couple of people, a skeptic and a non-skeptic, solving creepy mysteries as a movie.
Yeah. Sure.
Just
that
a regular,
would be
regular,
that would
whatever.
Be so fucking
super
good.
Scary. Maybe Dracula's involved. Maybe he's not. He's on
We're
vacation.
We're finally fighting Dracula, Scully.
Turns out he's an alien from Neptune.
Oh, Scully, my great uncle Horvos just died in Transylvania. we have to spend a night in his castle.
Right. In order to inherit it.
Oh, poor Aunt Hortense. Man. And they kind of dip into some of that with this movie, but then it just decides to take a nap again.
It's just, it's so aggressively boring. So, yeah. I mean, the dime store, the back of the box is... Mulder and Scully are forced out of retirement because an agent goes missing,
right.
And Billy Connolly is a psychic, and Amanda, Pete, and Exhibit are kind of a new team on an X-Files-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they bring them in to kind of say, hey, is Billy Connolly a psychic or is he not?
And that's like, so right there, that's an interesting thing. Like, because they know where Scully is. She's teaching, or she's a doctor at this like Catholic hospital, which makes sense. Scully was a devout Catholic on the show, so that all like totally fits.
Can I do a Tobolowsky pause really quickly?
Of course.
I'm curious, because I've only watched, again, how old is Scully supposed to be? When did she go to both medical school and through FBI training? Is this a Doogie Howser situation?
Or is it like Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap? He had like 7 advanced degrees.
And also, like, when did she... So, like, all right, like, maybe just say she's a general practitioner and also, like, just got a medical degree and then went right to the FBI. When does she become a pediatric oncologist?
Well,
I mean, she's 39 years old.
She cut open a lot of corpses, right, as an ex-Filian.
Oh, so she got an honorary degree?
Well, she throughout the show, she was a doctor first.
Yes.
The doctor thing came first, and then she gave it up to be in the FBI. Her parents hated her for it.
Sure.
But then it was always like...
At the ripe old age of 26.
It was mostly for autopsies, though.
But it was also evolving into like she was like a scientist, and she was always like doing research and shit.
Yeah.
So how that then transfers into, well, it's not cancer. Like, this kid has some weird disease. So
yeah,
presumably, but she's just doing a surgery. It's a thing. She's doing many surgeries in this film.
She does surgeries throughout the show.
Yeah. Hey,
Mulder. I'm a doctor. I can prescribe you some pills. We're going to be on this plane for a long time.
You know, we never said she was a good doctor.
Yeah. That's a really good
she
point.
She probably loses half of those patients. That Catholic hospital's hard up.
Scully, this wasn't supposed to be an autopsy. You were just taking some blood.
No. You can definitely take that with alcohol.
Mulder, it's cool. I'm a doctor. I'm a cool doctor, Mulder.
4, 5, 6, 7, whatever.
I think that was part of the FBI's motivation, though, to like team her with Mulder to sort of debunk what he was doing, because like she is a doctor. It's one of the most, like, you know, you have to stand by scientific beliefs kind of a thing.
Catholic doctor and scientific beliefs. Yes. I don't know about
That whole thing, I was like, fucking priest-run hospital. Nuns running all over. Get the fuck out of here.
So she gets approached. Is it by Amanda Pete or is it by Exhibit, or is it by a third person?
It's Exhibit, and welcome to Pimp My Patient.
Can I just say, Exhibit dates a movie so hard, it's like having an establishing date on the side of a building. Exhibit's in your movie, it's like having an establishing date.
But Amanda Pete, too, dates this movie. When's the, that woman worked in the George W. Bush era, and that's it.
Well, the, dude,
from 2000 to 2008, she owned that shit.
She got voted out, dude.
When you got that fucking sick Game of Thrones money, man, you don't have to do diddly dick.
Oh, that's right. She's married to one of those guys, right?
I think she's married to David Benioff. Oof. So that's like, retire on that dude's fucking fortune.
Oh, that's the Iron Bank right there, man.
Yeah, and he hasn't even gotten the Star Wars money yet.
Yeah, you know, she's probably going to show up in one of those movies.
I would be certain.
She's fine. She's totally fine. That's not a knock on Amanda Pete.
Well, I find her not great.
She's not great. No, she's definitely not.
She's really good in American Gods.
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
really? Okay, I'm not going to watch that.
It's really good.
I keep saying I'm going to do it.
Fuller. I always have
well,
to give
you're
it a shot.
Actually Steve Reed and fucking Neil Gaiman out the ass.
That's one of my favorite Neil Gaiman things, American Gods. So, Exhibit comes up to her and is like, hey, look, I know that there's a manhunt. In air quotes, manhunt for Mulder, for Fox Mulder, for all the stuff. If you agree to help us with this case, we will call off the goons.
Right.
Right. So there's a manhunt after him because he's been mailing, what is it? It's not arsenic. It's anthrax.
It's a powder. I don't think they actually want to say what it is.
To the government.
To the government, though.
Scully,
he's got that Kaczynski beard.
He's got that Kaczynski beard. Absolutely.
Absolutely does. Now, wait, did I miss that line? Is he actually, or were you joking around?
He's not.
Because I was like, no, there was the whole explosion in New Mexico. Don't you remember the end of the series?
No, I don't. What happened in New Mexico, dude?
Oh, well, there was
more. Oh, it stays in New Mexico.
There's Gleep Glop shit going on, and then like a helicopter blew a fucking missile at the cigarette-smoking man, and a mountain exploded.
Well, a helicopter blew a missile. What is this, Transformers?
So after
Fox Mulder, you were right. Just stop, for crying out loud. Just stop.
Fox Mulder, take that off of eBay. It is me, Optimus Prime, and I need those eyeglasses.
That's X-Files meets the Transformers.
Why not?
Absolutely.
That would be something.
Every fucking day with this Fox. Every fucking day.
I would watch that. X-Files could do a crossover with any major franchise.
Absolutely.
Terminator, yes, please.
Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo, and Donatello, I've got you the pizza, extra cheesy, just the way you like it.
I think the only time they actually
dissect those goddamn turtles.
I think the only time they actually crossed over was on Millennium.
Well, that doesn't even count.
And the Lone Gunman.
Yeah, Mulder appeared on the Lone Gunman.
That doesn't count.
Or did he?
And the Simpsons.
I just know they appeared on the X-Files. So it's part of like the
Mulder
universe.
Definitely did. I was getting because like the show ran concurrently with the X-Files. Because at the end of the X-Files, the lone gunmen die.
I'm gonna have to call.
They get murdered in a fucking room full of poisonous gas, and then Skinner. This is ridiculous. Skinner arranges for them, the lone gunmen, three dudes who fucking hate the government, to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery.
Well, that's against my wishes. What about the lone gunmen's families?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, those men had no families.
I'm going to have to call in a friend of mine, Scully. Meet the Predator.
Yeah. Skinner, Arlington, sure. Yeah, put him in the ditch.
The ditch.
Out back.
But the weird thing is,
the
like,
Arlington ditch.
I think that they're like, we have no idea where Mulder is. Although, isn't Scully living with him?
No.
She's not.
No.
She just knows where he's at.
Yeah.
But and she's like staying over sometimes. Like, yeah. Stay over buds.
Booty calls.
It's like we're fucking all the time.
Oh, yeah. Sure. We should point out that this was made right when he was separating from Taya Leone.
Yeah.
And this was released the same year he went into rehab for sex addiction.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, so yeah,
so they're fucking, but she doesn't live there. He has this compound that she knows how to get to. It's like you got to move this gate, drive another 10 miles mm-hmm. onto some property, and he's just got this farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. So Billy Connolly is one of these, like, he assists the FBI cuz he's having visions is the idea.
Well, the beginning of this movie is almost exciting where it's like it's this woman, she's driving and it's intercut with them looking for her body.
Right. Yeah, which is cool. Like, they do the editing as such that, like, you don't catch on right away as to what's happening.
Yes.
And then when you put it together, you're like, oh, that's cool. And then this dude who looks like John Malkovich attacks this woman. Yeah. It's like a sickly John Malkovich.
Set to the beautiful landscape of supposedly West Virginia, but we have like the Yukon Territory, rocky mountains in the background.
Well, that's an X-Files tradition, just filming in Canada, man.
Yeah.
Which was great. It was a welcome thing to go back to Canada. The back half of that show is filmed in L.A. So when you start season six, everything's sunny as shit.
You know the difference? You know the other dead giveaway for Canada? Callum Keith Rennie just hanging out in this movie?
Yes.
That guy's not allowed in the States. I really don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think a lot of those Battlestar guys, he's Battlestar. Star, right?
He's one of the Cylons.
One
of the Cylons, yeah.
The one with
Lee Oben.
Oh, yes, he was.
Kevin, was he also, was he Unjustified?
Yes,
Callum
I think
Keith
so,
Rennie?
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch Battlestar, but he looked awfully familiar.
He's on a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of the big baddie. So they both, they attack this woman. One of them gets a rake to the face.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the John Malkovich looking dude. And, you find out what they actually wind up finding, the FBI and Billy Connolly. Like, it's over here. Oh, it's right here. And they dig and they find this dude's arm with the scratches on it. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's
yeah.
something.
Oh, yeah. So it's not the woman, but it's that dude's scratched arm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Saving it for later.
He's unarmed and dangerous.
Oh, yikes. So Mulder agrees to do this. Scully brings him to the FBI building where we have the worst joke that this movie puts forward. They're like walking down the hall talking about like the X-Files, this, that, and the other thing. The more things change, the more they stay the same, whatever the fuck. They stop outside somebody's office, and then you see like something catch Mulder's eye, and it's like, what is he looking at? Camera pan to the left, dating this once again. It's a picture of George W. Bush, and you just cue the X-Files theme song?
Mm-hmm. Wee you, weirdo. What a weird time to live in.
You know, you don't even know what's coming, man.
Yeah,
holy
seriously.
Fucking shit.
Isn't it such a, like an innocent joke now, right? Yeah. And then it pans like back to the right, and the other side of the door, it's a picture of
Hoover.
And you're like, look at these two weirdos. And they just kind of like laugh to each other.
Yeah.
But I will say,
super weird, alien-y guys, not violent maniacs.
They were violent maniacs.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's your point. Well,
it's like, oh, they're weird aliens.
I will say, in 2008, seeing this in the theater, that was like a big joke, and people loved it.
Oh, well, yeah. We were done with it. We were like, oh, man, here's the last gasp of this horse shit.
Yep.
And like, yeah, let's stick it to that guy kind of a thing.
Totally sticking it to him. Well, that's the Chris Carter thing, man. That's all what these new things are, too.
Can we talk about the beard that he's sporting in this? And I mean, like, come on, movie. Mm-hmm. You know what? Get David Duchovny, but like, yo, David, grow a beard.
Yep.
Grow any, or just don't.
It would probably take him like a week. You like he's a masculine guy.
Yeah, totally. Sure. That Duchovny, he's got that Eastern European blood in him. Mm-hmm. He'd have a fucking field day.
He's shaving three times a day.
Totally, he's like a werewolf. That guy,
and it's like it's this fucking SNL sketch beard,
dude. I've seen Will Ferrell wear this exact beard on that fucking hot tub swingers sketch.
Scully, we fill our bellies with goat meat, and now we will make love.
Yes, exactly. It's the same beard.
Mulder, why are you always looking off to the right every time you say something? It's like you're reading cue cards, Mulder.
I'm trying to find a reason for this beard. Was that show Californication on at the time?
The year before
he
it premiered.
He didn't have a beard on there.
No, but... Exactly. Oh.
2007.
So if he was hopping between filming this and filming that...
That was absolutely the reason.
Maybe that's the explanation for the
no
beard?
That's almost certainly
It's also the cheapest way to signify... It's been a while since I've had to be around people.
Yes, the in-hiding look.
Pardon me. Give me a fucking break.
I right. just woke up from a coma.
It's the podcaster.
Yes. You know what, dude?
Haven't been around people for a long time.
Give him bleach blonde hair and a blonde mustache, man.
That is something.
Totally. Like that's like, oh, I'm on the run. Like, and I am on the run.
Bright blue contact lenses, dude. Make him look really fucking weird, like a robot.
That would be so unsettling.
Just totally fake as anything. It would be great.
Lots of costumes in this hideaway he's got.
Just do white chicks with the X-Files.
But give him a bunch of like ragged jackets. Like he should look like fucking Hagrid.
Yeah. Or he should look like that dude that, well, it turns out that was a lady that played this bum, but the guy behind the dumpster in Mulholland Drive.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, right. But also like FBI and your manhunt. How about you, if you actually have a manhunt, follow Scully for a day? Because she's been booty calling this dude for 6 years. Like,
yeah.
Every week Scully goes to this weird compound on the outskirts of West Virginia. Whoops, that's where Mulder is.
No,
done.
That would be too much.
But I think there's a throwaway line, though, where she says something to him like, Mulder, if the FBI like actually really wanted to find you, they would find you. They're trying to do like the courteous thing and like, give you the opportunity to come in to help them, sort of.
Well, that's not going to stop my internet radio show, Scully.
Uh-oh, it's 2008. My real player froze.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, R.I.P.D.
Oh, he would have been, you know, Mulder would have been great at that shit.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everybody.
He wants to
Frequent
believe
guest,
every
I
fucking
think.
Maniac.
Have a little fun
him.
With it. Do like the beginning of Ghostbusters 2. Maybe Scully is doing kids' birthday parties and Mulder's got a fun cable access show.
That's right. Well, it is kind of like Scully is at this hospital. Like, this is her thing now. She's totally given up being an FBI.
She's celebrating birthday parties with cancer patients.
Scully and Skinner go to kids' birthday parties.
My dad says you're full of crap.
Remember when the X-Files saved this town?
Oh, the X-Files got sued by the city?
Yes! The city of New Mexico, man.
The city of New Mexico.
That's right. The city of New Mexico. Yeah. We're playing fast to loose.
So they go to meet Billy Connolly at one of these fucking disgusting... All these pedophile priests get put in an apartment complex things, which
police,
is a real thing.
Police
really?
Each other.
Yeah.
They police each other.
Yeah.
Is that sort of like when the guy who wrote into the show like had to watch Son of the Mask with someone else so that he wouldn't masturbate during it?
Kind of, sort of.
Possibly.
So like they have to like, they have to like always be making sure like they're not jacking it to something weird.
That's exactly right. Or to someone in the room or jacking someone in the room.
I gotta tell you, these pedophile apartments look pretty great, and Billy Connolly is impeccably dressed this entire movie.
You get
he looks really cozy.
You get a whole one bedroom to yourself.
Nice.
It's fucking crazy.
Like, playing records, smoking cigarettes.
I played the capitalist game and I wasn't even able to afford something that nice.
Exactly.
No, and the only trade-off is society on the whole knows that you fuck 37 kids.
37, by by the way, what a number.
That's, you know, what big. It's a terrible thing, but he achieved mightily at being a piece of shit.
Yes,
those High are marks. Wilt Chamberlain numbers.
That's awful. So they go to this compound. Scully's like immediately disgusted by this whole thing, but Mulder, there's kind of an awkward thing right here where Mulder's like, oh, well, it's something about like getting information from him and you just be watching him like a hawk. He's like, I'd get in bed with this guy. I'd kiss his holy ass, blah, yeah. blah, blah. And then is it Exhibit who's like, yeah, he is a convicted pedophile who molested 37 altar boys. To which Mulder goes, maybe I'd stay out of bed with him. Just making these jokes.
He does it again. He molested. Like, 2 minutes later, he said there's something about an activities yep. room.
Just and- avoid the activities room in the sex offender dorm.
37 in a row? Yeah.
Just a busy day.
Try not to molest any kids on the way to the parking lot.
37. My priest molested 37 kids.
I assure you, the X-Files are open.
Mulder, I don't even want to be here today.
Ah, you got me. So. Mulder, this man died with an erection.
Time to
but
autopsy.
Scully, that's impossible.
And then this woman fucked it. Fucked this dead erection. It's a ghost baby, Scully.
We have to go to New Jersey. Apparently the apocalypse is going to happen and these stoners met an angel.
Oh my God.
Oh, they'd be
yes.
there.
See, that's the thing. It yes. can connect it with anything.
FYI, there's def an episode of The X-Files, I think it's season one, where they do indeed tackle the Jersey Devil.
You know, Mulder, it looks like this thing was both fecal matter and yet alive.
Look at the pretzels, I guess.
the
big
shit monster.
The shit monster. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I forgot about that little lovable guy.
Is that a movie that holds up?
I think that movie's fun know. Enough, but it's not great.
I remember mm-hmm. liking it.
Yes.
I don't know if that would be the case today.
No. Yeah, we'll exactly.
See. I can't remember the last time I saw it.
Me either. So we go into Billy Connolly's apartment where he's watching the Jeffersons.
Oh, right.
And we get a lot of, like, the Jeffersons theme song is playing here, and I don't get what the nod is here. What are we moving on up to? Because it's not a better caseload. This is a really fucking C-grade episode of the television show.
I just think that we're talking about, like, oh, it's fun. This is what he's doing. I don't know. Like, it's something. Like,
No, you just got to take time to humanize the pedophile. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do.
Again and again.
Not Scully, who there's a weird, like...
She fucking loses it.
Gillian Anderson is, like, totally laying into this dude... And she lets her, like, I live in England now shit slip where she's, this is Dana Scully, like Virginia's Dana Scully or Maryland's Dana Scully is like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I didn't bugger 37 altar boys. And I was like, bugger?
Who the fuck says bugger?
English people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not I mean, like mid-Atlantic FBI agents.
But I think it's also like you can't say fuck, you know what I mean? Which is what the word should be. Because then even Mulder's like, wow, you really went in on him. And she's like, I could have said something worse.
I wish she did. I wish this movie had any balls. I wish it did something. I wish we saw actual things happen.
Now, Steve and I both had this weird wrong memory that like this movie was sort of about werewolves.
Yeah.
What?
I thought that like when this came on the schedule, I was like, oh, the X-Files, it's a boring movie, but at least there's some werewolves in there at the end. And I keep waiting for that werewolf to show up.
But also I realized rewatching it last night, since the only time I've rewatched it since the theater, well, it's way worse than that because I definitely was watching it this time like, oh, fuck, I fell asleep in the theater for an extended period of time.
Oh, yeah.
This movie is 1 hour and 47 minutes, and there's a part around 1 hour where you're like, oh, it's ending. And I paused it, and I was like, there's still 45 minutes left of this movie.
It goes on for so long. So, and all these extra, like, you are stuck in the hospital with Dana Scully much of this fucking movie.
We got to get into it. So, yeah, she her thing is there's this one case, this kid named Christian. Interesting.
You get it yet?
Oh, did anybody else notice Billy Connolly's last name?
No.
Christman.
Oh, no, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is. 100%.
Come on.
Father Joe Christman?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious.
Man, that's stupid.
Steve, Joe check something. The facts. There's a middle name.
Check the facts on this.
Is but it Jesus? Is his middle name Jesus?
So she's got this case, and this kid with this rare disease, and the hospital doesn't want to pay for the treatment but they also think it's like a lost cause, so they just want to let him go with God.
Which,
like,
dude, nice out, Catholic hospital. Yes.
Like, oh, yeah.
It, the old, it's in God's hands now? Wow. Mm. Jack Nicholson is that fucking hospital purchaser in Bucket List, would not stand by that.
By the way, I looked it up. It's Father Joseph Chrisman, no T.
Double S. Still close enough. Too close for comfort, if you ask me.
And I think it's pronounced with the T.
Well, I mean, if that's your line of work, why not? So
her whole thing for most of this movie is trying to find either a cure or she has like all these board meetings she has to go to. A
lot of video conferencing in this movie.
And I'm like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, it's fine. Like, again, like, it would be as if in Ghostbusters 2, we keep having to watch, like, Winston, like, book these birthday parties, and then they show up to one and nobody's there, and it's like, oh man, no, I bought the balloons and everything, like, which would be more exciting, but
Steven Soderbergh's Ghostbusters.
It would be like, because like, you're watching like a super dull professional moment.
Yeah.
Like watching extended scenes of Dana Barrett restoring those paintings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just like in Ghostbusters 2, we get that like for one scene.
Yes.
She does it and for like 2 seconds, and then Venkman comes in and interrupts it, and the movie's allowed to continue. This is just like the movie, the whole thing about finding this missing FBI agent has to stop dead so we can have extended scenes with lots of dialogue about Scully's crisis of faith.
At least with Ghostbusters 2, the whole villain's established through art, like, yeah, art repair or whatever. What do I call it? Restoration.
Art restoration, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's actually part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is this hospital come to anything?
No.
Nothing.
It's just, like, her... The connection is, like, her frustration with priests. Like, she's mad at the priests at the hospital. And so, like, one... Yes, naturally hating a convicted pedophile, but then sure, it's amplified by the fact that he's a Catholic priest, mm-hmm, and the Catholic Church is fucking with her in this professional world.
And, you know, I'd be looking at that children's ward in a whole new set of eyes after that.
And they're kind of right. If she's working with the FBI on this major case, like, I wouldn't want her doing surgery.
Yeah.
That's a fucking taxing job.
Yeah, like, but that's not the reason they give. They could use that as the out. Like, Dana... You are always leaving this hospital to go fucking dance around with your old FBI buddy. Meanwhile, we got dying kids here.
The father of your fucking child.
Right, William.
Billy. Billy the kid.
Billy. Baby Billy.
So Billy Connolly is like, oh, I see the...
He's her child?
Yeah. Yeah, from an alternate... He's like Cable. He's from an alternate future.
Oh, shit.
He grew up early.
Yeah, I've been molesting kids in the other timeline.
Oh, my God.
The summer of Josh Brolin, but it gets weird. So they do this obnoxious thing where Billy Connolly keeps bringing them back to the same field.
Uh-huh.
So when you got a boring as balls movie, the great idea is to keep returning to the same dark field repeatedly and then have characters call that out. Like, they go to this field and exhibits just like, he keeps bringing us back here. It's like, yeah, the movie is going in circles.
And then, like, Mankind, like, they look away for 1 second. Now he's crying blood. It's like, what did you get a little razor blade in your little sleeve there?
And it's somewhere around here, Exhibit makes mention of, like, very briefly some X-Files mythology about Mulder's sister who was abducted by aliens, yes, when they were a kid. It sets off, like, Fox Mulder's interest in the paranormal and whatever. And Exhibit, out of nowhere, is like, you believe this psychic and you think this psychic's going to find this girl, and it's because you think that your sister's still alive.
You knew this. Why did you bring him in the first place then?
And he says it like in the car, like they're driving there, and he's like, you know, your sister's still dead, right?
Well, no, he's just like, oh, yeah, he thinks his sister was abducted by E.T. And it's like,
oh, that's right. Yeah, the E.T. knock.
Like, yo, dude, my sister's actually dead, though. Yes. Like, hi. Like, that's not all right.
Like, dead. Like, in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing this thing where they're trying to, like, suss out, like we said, whether or not Billy Connolly's actually having these psychic visions. They take him.
Give him, you know what? I mean, I hate to keep doing it. Give him the Ghostbusters test. Get a deck of cards.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple of wavy lines.
You are a natural at this.
Why wouldn't I help the turtle?
Oh, yeah. Give him that fucking test, dude.
Find out if he's a replicant. Why not?
Or give him a drawing test. Maybe have him draw a turtle.
Yeah, or Keith or Sutherland.
It's kind of a good fuck you to the FBI right here, though, because Billy Connolly's like, nay, this ain't the house, you know, like, yeah, this isn't where this grisly murder or kidnapping took place. But then it's like just directly across the street,
the garage.
And Amanda Pete's like, okay, that tells us nothing, because when we pulled in, he could have seen the fucking caution tape.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if you're trying to pull this trick, go on a completely different street, yes, completely exactly, different neighborhood. It's so, all of this shit like that is so lazy. Like, what? Oh, do we want to block off two streets to film this sequence? No, we'll just do one. All right, make the wrong house just immediately across the street.
Hey, you stop thinking that this pedophile is a charlatan.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
You watch your mouth.
You better warm up to this kid toucher.
You fucker.
I saw Billy Connolly in the street once, and he was
touching kids,
big as life and cool as fuck.
Really?
Yeah, he's like probably like 6'5" or something. He's a big dude.
Man.
Jesus.
Was he boondocking out?
He was wearing a black T-shirt. It was the summer. He had black sunglasses.
Oh, yeah,
dude,
he
that
did.
Guy is getting laid tonight. Yeah, like a T-shirt tucked into jeans. Like, oh, you know, like, yeah, that's,
yeah,
the look.
That's,
man,
something.
Mm-hmm.
That is something.
Speaking of Billy Connolly, can I tell you, this is one of the most irrational things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. The only very vivid memory I have of having like a childhood like temper tantrum, like a total fuck off freak out.
Uh-huh.
Was the first time you saw Billy Connolly?
Kind of.
He was just that good.
Billy Connolly, for a fashion, a very short fashion,
had a TV show.
Television show called Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a TGIF situation?
I remember this.
It was a sitcom, right?
It was a sitcom, and I think
he was a teacher.
Yes, and it was like a 9:30 slot situation, sure. So it was like for a kid, ooh, like kind of late on a Friday, right? I remember like watching the first like few minutes of an episode of that show and my mom being like, time for bed. And I had a fucking freak out screaming. And I remember this screaming, I want to watch Billy. Just repeatedly as this poor woman dragged me into bed.
I
want
to watch Billy.
And for what? I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't watch the show regularly, but I was having a stupid kid freak out over a lame Billy Connolly sitcom.
Oh, Andrew, just go to bed.
You don't want to watch this. It ain't for you.
He's real.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the plot, I mean, like, the bad guy, what's actually happening here?
Oh, that's a great question.
So what happens again is you don't know what's going on with this woman. Then we cut to a public pool. There's a woman swimming around. Callum Keith Rennie is there. It's like,
is he supposed to be jerking off in this pool?
No, it's not. Because it's easy.
Are you sure?
Oh, right. Yes. The character's gay. They dropped that in there.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
you could just be jerking off in a public pool. I didn't mean jerking off to that woman swimming.
I just meant
he is sitting on like the bottom of the pool, just like staring out into space. And that dude's jerking
off.
And
he's probably got a vivid imagination.
Or he could be bisexual and just married to a man.
Yeah, that's true. It's also completely possible.
It's another 2008 thing when we learn a little bit more about these villains, and it's like, it's this guy and this guy. They're both like, you know, they emigrated from Russia. They're here now. And by the way, in the state of Massachusetts, they're legally married.
Who says that again?
That's Exhibit.
Exhibit impression.
It was the portrait of George W. Bush saying
that. I was like the Conan O'Brien bit, like the mouth is flapping.
I was making Exhibit sound like Boss Tweed.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's fine. It's like an interesting wrinkle if you do anything with it.
But nothing. But nothing comes of it.
No. So he abducts us. We're kind of doing insomnia a little bit. Like, we're on this icy road.
Yep.
And he's got this snow plow. He plows her off the road.
It's a tow truck?
It's got a thing
on it.
It's
a plow. It's like a homemade plow. Yeah, it's a plow on a truck.
Homemade plow.
Well, no, like, I mean, it's like for if you did that for your work and you also took it off to do it.
Yeah, he's got like a pickup truck. Maybe that's what it is. It's like a pickup truck with a plow.
That's what it is.
I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it also, you know, on the weekends, it's a party mobile, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude.
Well, they take that up to the lake?
Yeah, man.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and also the mafia needs like major, major graves pulled, plowed over often in this town.
I love it.
The plow pays for itself. Is what
I mean,
saying.
Oh, yeah.
You can find plows plow jobs.
And honestly, if you're doing a mass grave, a plow is the thing that'll get it done.
You're
fastest.
Also employing, as we'll find out, spoiler alert, a mad doctor. So, you know,
that's some dollars.
It's way less conspicuous than a backhoe.
Yeah. Exactly.
You want to get absolutely. A pickup plow is perfect. You could even yes. if it gets bloodied, you could remove the plow.
Sure.
You can fucking bury the plow with the body. I want to be a plow guy.
Scully, this plow has seen some shit. Let's investigate it.
I'm getting some paranormal vibes from this plow.
That name again is Mr. Plow.
Scully is amputating the plow. She pulls down a welder's mask.
Oh, this is interesting, Mulder. This is metal.
This isn't an alien body at all.
I thought it was one of those Transformers.
Yes. Over here, motherfucker! Missed me again! Isn't this crossover grand?
That would be so good. I would love to see Optimus Prime like dissected by a government mechanic.
Ow! There is that great episode where knock me out! Give me the gas!
Oh, right. Like,
Dr. Scully, give me the gas! Like Junior.
This was a drink.
I'll count back. Third gear. Second gear. First.
Mr. Optimus, you've been out for quite some time. Now, do you remember what road you're on? And can you hold up three tires for me?
Route 69. Give me more of the juice.
So he runs this woman off the road. She crashes into a huge bale of hay.
Yes.
He comes up to the window. And also, like, this is a weird thing on this woman's part. Like, I know you just got in a car accident. Things are pretty scary right now. But this dude clearly ran you off the road purposefully, right? Yep. So Callum Keith Rennie comes up to the window, and she's like, oh, thank God, help me, I can't. And it's just like, no, he's the dude that just did this. It's only going to get worse. He's not helping shit.
He knocks her out and takes her out of the car. And I guess Billy Connolly at this point gets another vision. It's like, right?
Yeah.
There's a vision that happens, but there's a really important thing right here. This is the scene. This is the scene where Scully's having some trouble sleeping.
Oh.
And then you hear Mulder be like, trouble sleeping, Scully? And he like rolls over and there's Mulder. And we are making a Fox Mulder fucking poking Scully with his boner joke in this movie.
Nice.
Good God damn. This is not why I fell in love with this show.
You waited 15 years for it. It's finally there on the big screen.
And it's just a like, fucking boy.
Yeah, like I was like, oh, Mulder and Scully are going to fall in love. No, Mulder just wants to fuck Scully. Like, that's how it is. And she compliments his dick.
Oh, totally.
It'll keep you up for a little while. It's like, it's not little. It's like, all right, guys. All right, guys?
You know what?
I don't Chris have Carter. Kids here, but I've got class.
Like,
I got class here.
Question, would the show be, or in the franchise, I guess, would have been better without them hooking up, maybe?
Yeah. Because, like, in these newer things, it's just like a weird... Especially this season 11, it's just like established that they're fucking all the time.
But, yeah, they keep on bringing it up. If they didn't do that, that'd be great.
It's obnoxious as fuck. You want them to be together, fine. Don't fucking shove it down my keep it.
Keep it on the message boards if you want it. You know what I mean? Like that's where that belongs.
That belongs in fan fiction.
There was an element of fan fiction.
Yes, it does.
There was an element of adversarialness to it originally. Sure. Now it's just like, oh, it's all like our wedding and our fucking kid and whatever.
Mm. And it's just not interesting.
Yeah.
It's not interesting television. It's not interesting film.
See anytime Jim and Pam after they got together. Holy shit. Fuck it. I wish I had an ejector seat.
Oh, hashtag Team Roy.
Yeah, man. Roy got a raw deal.
He was abusive.
He was abusive.
But Jim Halpert was a piece of garbage, too.
That wedding episode is great.
I don't even remember.
No, I cut out.
They got married in Niagara Falls, and it was a touching episode of television.
Was he still a smug piece of shit when he was doing it?
Yeah, dude. Dude, you know what, man?
Better than you, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, better than you.
So the documentary crew was also his wedding videographer?
Yeah, two birds, one stone. Dude.
And then she cheated on him in that last season with one of the documentary crew.
Oh,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Did they ever work out? Jim and Pam? I think does she live on that beet farm now?
I was always
the beet farm that didn't go to six wives.
The beet farm that didn't go to series, you mean?
Yeah. I was really hoping that the whole thing would end like Man Bites Dog.
Definitely. Oh, fuck. Hell yeah.
Shooting a baby? Shit.
Oh, yeah. The whole office.
Scaring Michael Scott to death by screaming in his face over his pills.
I mean, Dwight Schrute definitely commits suicide, right?
Oh. He would have to.
He would be at the end of everything.
If you did a modern The Office, because it's crazy that that show's like dated now.
Yeah.
Like, Dwight would be like an incel, yep. MRA guy. He'd be lecturing people about how women should behave.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of is that already. They just didn't have a name for it back then.
That's fair.
Also, maybe he would become like kind of a low-grade Koresh-type figure.
Oh, yeah. He'd be alt-right as fuck.
They got that farm, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude. Militia. It's the Second Amendment right, Jim.
That's MRA if I've ever heard it.
My cousin mows with the machine gun.
Yeah. He mows down libtards.
Oh, Lord.
This is the beet farm and Proud Boys head HQ1.
This is their last stand against the oppressive Bureau of Land Management, because they're like the Bundy Ranch.
then they get sent a bunch of dildos and Dwight's getting upset about it.
Yes.
Dude, those guys getting upset about getting dildos in the mail is one of the funniest things you'll see.
I honestly think like the Bundy Ranch scenario, I know we're getting off topic, could be like a funny sitcom.
Yeah, you're totally right.
It's a bunch of wacky people stuck in a funny situation.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Get Tim Allen to play like Clive and Bundy.
Oh, totally.
Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Exactly.
Stop sending us dildos.
So Scully starts talking about this. She got these autopsy results from this arm, or the blood results or whatever.
Armtopsies.
Oh, armtopsies. Yes.
Welcome back to armtopsy.
That was a separate degree.
About arm autopsy.
Alien armtopsy.
Hosted by Jonathan Frakes.
Oh my God.
Tonight we have an arm.
So that turned out to be fake, huh? The alien autopsy thing?
Yeah, dude. It turned out to be a...
I was thinking about, like, maybe it wasn't. Like, maybe they just said that because it was real. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right, dude. Throw us all off the scent.
Exactly.
Did you ever see that? It's on, like, I think Netflix now. Did you rewatch it?
No.
Oh, man. It's embarrassing for Mr. Frakes.
Wait, are you talking about Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction?
Yes. It's either on Netflix or Hulu.
It's on Prime.
It's on Prime.
Because I have been going through.
Is that where the alien autopsy?
No,
was?
That was a different special altogether, Steve. That was on Fox, and it was a special.
Oh no, that's what I mean. Yeah, that. But the one with Jonathan Frakes. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, the alien autopsy. Thing.
Yes, yeah.
Oh no, I was referring to the show Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction that he hosted.
No, he has to be like, all right, put the kids to bed. We don't know if this is real or not, but we're just going to present these.
Oh,
as fact.
That's right.
And he has to like play both sides of it. Like, you might, you know, that distortion there could have been the work of clever filmmakers. Or is that an alien?
See, and that's what's interesting, though, because that's pretty much what he does on that Beyond Belief Fact or Fiction show, because that whole thing is like you watch five segments, and at the end of every segment, he's like, was this real? Was it not? We'll let you know at the end. And then insert some pun that related to the last story you just
watched.
Oh,
that's fun.
The so-called free press doesn't want you to know.
It was like four seasons long. That first season's hosted by James Brolin.
Oh, nice.
And then you just get Frakes, and he's just doing these really bad jokes.
You call him a Grandpa Thanos, as you call James Brolin. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Was he Thanos' dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie?
No.
Josh Brolin. It's Josh Brolin's father.
No, I knew. Okay.
They're both named Brolin.
That's it.
You know what? Because Infinity War was so jam-packed, I honestly was like, did I miss Thanos' dad?
Oh, right. That's understandable.
I went to the bathroom once.
He was the one that got it. Oh, never mind.
Yes. Oh, so the thing I was saying about the armtopsy, she lets Mulder know that also in this dude's arm was a chemical that is known as being a powerful animal tranquilizer.
And that's even me rewatching this movie. Like, that's right, werewolves.
Yep. Yes. I did the same thing. I was like, oh boy, she's going to tell him it's from a wolf. It's wolf's blood.
It's not that.
No, it's not.
Imagine, it'd be pretty cool if it was.
It would be pretty cool. Also, sexy scene here. Sorry.
Please.
This is David Duchovny shaving that beard off. This is like Fox Mulder getting back into fighting shape. Is him fucking shaving this beard?
Shaving off the tape. And,
dude, he looks like gum. He looks like fucking Tevye in a high school production of Fiddler. It is so bad, this beard.
It's ridiculous. He shaves it off.
If I was a rich crap.
And then, like,
Like you could have, you could be a weirdo living in the middle of nowhere and shave. Mm-hmm. That happens.
That's yeah. right.
That's half the country.
Conversely, I'm a weirdo that lives in one of the busiest cities on earth, and I look like I haven't seen anyone in years.
Mm-hmm. True.
Look how much of a scumbag I look like right now.
Being in a crowd is one of the loneliest places to be. Wow.
So we keep cutting back to the actual facility where this woman was kidnapped to, which is like a dog pound slash like Russian Nazi doctor something or other.
Yeah, and it's all you're seeing science. Is this woman like stuck in a box.
Yes.
And like just the little peepholes and like people walking around.
So let's get into what this thing is because it's very confusing. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
They are Russian expats that come over here to do crazy science.
Mm-hmm.
And the science they want to do is put heads on things. Yeah. Like head transplants.
Double heads.
Which was a thing in the old Soviet Union. There were certain doctors that did do that. I think they successfully put a dog's head on another dog and it lived for like a few hours or a day or something.
I think you're
but
right.
It was like a breakthrough at the time.
And I think it's also important to point out that these aren't expats. You would refer to these guys as ex-Soviet scientists.
Uh-huh.
Big Jesus time. Christ. These dudes came over here, but they didn't want to be here.
But what is the angle here? Like, who's in charge? I have no idea. I don't know what the structure is. I don't know any of the scientists' names.
It would be awesome if, like, they established this dude as, like, a real heavy, and there's a hench, you know,
that's
like
what
a,
the
as
show,
a crime boss or
that's
whatever.
That's what was great about the show. The show always gave a good amount of time to the oddity, the villain of each episode.
So what if we give
even that fucking worm in the sewer got more time than these fucking Russian fucking mad scientists.
We're going to double the length of a regular episode and give you way less exposition or anything.
And then
about
a melodrama
the
about Dr. Scully and the cancer kids.
When you think about it that way, the fact that this is really like, it's just a longer episode. Like some of the worse TNG movies and shit, where they're just like, they would be episodes you would skip in your cherry picking, right? But it's actually kind of impressive that they have more to work with and somehow give so much less.
It's incredible. Like there's not even Callum Keith Rennie, like the idea is him and his husband, I don't know, like
according to the state of Massachusetts.
Could you imagine? Stop it now. No, but like
you know, that's not even America.
Yeah.
Massachusetts.
It's 2008, so no one was into that, by the way.
That's right.
Most of the Democrats weren't.
Yep. None of the Democrats.
So
except for like Dennis Kucinich, maybe.
Oh, that's hilarious. That guy's a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, he's not.
Go back and look at the Daily Show from that era. Oh, that's all they do.
Yeah, it's like...
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. John wasn't great on that one.
But anyway, so like him and his husband... we're not sure anything about them. We know is that this guy, the bald one, wants to put his head on a lady body. And like, I guess the joke or idea is that's what all gay people want to do.
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery. First you got that in Massachusetts, now you got to put the heads on the body.
And I feel like, I don't know what, Chris Carter...
I need a scene with these two guys. I need a scene with these two guys
where they're talking about how the plan is going.
Yes. You never even like really see the main baddie really that much.
You don't
like ever at all.
I don't know who he is.
Annoying.
Is the main baddie supposed to be Callum Keith Rennie, or is that scientist?
No, it's the bald scientist is the guy who's doing all this shit. And he's got the double dog.
The guy with the rake face, the Sideshow Bob.
Oh, the guy that looks like John Malkovich?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's the ringleader?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
He got molested by Billy Connolly.
Oh,
right?
that's a big one we crossed over.
No,
I mean, that's coming up. That's the last
the reveal.
But, it's a podcast.
Yes. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yes, it is.
For now. So he got molested, and then he married this dude, and like, I guess, like, is he... I have no idea what's
they
going
got
on. This movie.
In conjunction
is he trying to get revenge on Billy Connolly in some
I
way?
Don't know.
Or like, Billy Connolly has like this sperm connection.
Who would
to this
know?
Kid?
They don't care. They don't want to tell you anything.
They don't. It's incredible. I would love anyone on the mailbag write in. Tell me who these people are and what they're trying to achieve for this movie that I watched an hour and 48 minutes of.
The fact that this guy, I mean, he's the one getting his head removed and put on another body. The fact that
specifically women.
Right. But he's got a connection to one of the fucking characters. So I was like, well, that's your big baddie. That's your main guy.
Yeah. But you don't
even
know.
Even though Laobin from Battlestar is more of the, I guess, henchman. The heavy.
Well, he's doing all the work.
Henchman. Yeah, exactly.
He's doing all the kidnapping and whatnot.
And again, like, that'd be great if he just comes back and he's like, you know, I'm doing this for us and whatever our plan is, and maybe this gets us money. And why are these Russian guys is there money to be exchanged? I know we're all Russian, but like,
first of all, he needs to be coming in that room, talking to that head. Yeah. It's now, at one point, it's severed and in an ice bath. He needs to be feeding this head like little fish food or something.
Yes. Totally.
Just like, you know, when we accomplish what they said couldn't be done.
Has to speak telepathically. Like, that's what I mean.
Oh, dude, he touches the fucking head, and then you just hear like the voiceover narration of them talking to each other.
Even like go Blood Diner and just his brain in a fucking tub of whatever.
Sure, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Man, or
tub of pickle juice.
Whew. Conversely, werewolves. What if they were
werewolves? That would be so much better.
It would have been so much better if it was something about a werewolf army.
I know where we're going with it. That's something you don't need to really even explain. It's like,
although
they
already did a great werewolf that when the Native American.
Oh, right.
That one is
great. Just bring one of them back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like.
Bring Tombs back.
Or
get
the Luke Wilson vampires back. That's an awesome episode.
Fuck, I totally forgot about that. That would also, like,
why not bring anything back? Khan was in TOS, and it was in one of the best movies. The Borg was in Next Generation, and it was one of the best movies. Yep.
And that's actually a good thing, like saying like Tombs or something like that. Like one of the Monster of the Week things from the show that doesn't have anything to do with the arc, but it's still from the
show. Something that might actually want Mulder to come out of hiding. Something that would actually like whet his appetite.
But that's the thing too, is like what Chris Carter had said repeatedly is like, I want this to be a standalone thing. I want to attract new fans with the most boring movie possible.
Here's the thing. Nobody has really gone after the pedophile audience.
That's true.
And this is a very, very, very hospitable look at a pedophile.
It's pretty pro.
NAMBLA doesn't have a movie they love.
But then if they went back and watched the rest of the X-Files on DVD and there's no more characters that they can relate to, what are we doing here?
But they know that they are capable of forgiving pedophiles, so they stick with them.
If this movie was successful and didn't bomb at the box office, that new season would be like Stranger Things but with pedophiles. Like, we have all the pedophiles to do all the psychic work for us in this laboratory, and then one of the pedophiles gets out and makes friends with some kids.
37, you say?
So he shaves. He's back in the game. We're going around. Scully goes to visit Billy Connolly on her own to sort of see what's going on, which is this gives me some of my favorite Billy Connolly lines in this movie. Because he is the best part of the movie, like, sadly.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just like, she's like, I'm here to figure out what's going on. And oh, that's right. At one point, at one of the scenes, he's like, don't give up. And she's like, what does that mean? So she goes back to, what did it mean? He's like, why are you here? Other than that, you loathe me. It's like a great. He really put some fucking sauce on the word loathe there.
Oh, yeah. But this scene, it gets so over the top. And the two of them are screaming at each other. No. And I'm just like, I'm not here for this fucking Kramer versus Kramer melodrama, dude. I'm watching The X-Files.
This is a fucking Paul Schrader movie. Give it a fucking rest with the religion shit.
Unless Billy Connolly turns into a bat at the end of this scene, I want nothing to do with
that. That would be nice. That's a nice touch. That. I like that,
better
Steve.
Better movie.
But catch you next time. Flip, 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 flip.
Try and catch me.
Yes, that's right.
I'm a pedophile
priest, and I'm a bat.
Oh, a Catholic vampire. And then Mulder like starts stabbing Scully's colleagues in the chest. It's like, oh, I guess he wasn't a vampire.
Priest, vampire, same diff.
Can we talk about this? I know he's a very cute pedophile, but there's in one of the crime scenes when they're digging up something, a body. Like, they are leaving the scene, and Billy Connolly is just running forward, and nobody's like, hey, maybe somebody, nobody's watching him.
Well, he's not under arrest.
No, I think he's in a house arrest.
I totally forgot he has to fucking stay there.
He has this special thing. Like, why not have somebody on him constantly?
Nah. Well, maybe that was, like, Exhibit's job.
Exhibit does a piss poor job this entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
Cutting to the only action scene in the movie, which happens an hour and 7 minutes in, Mulder and Amanda Peet are chasing around Callum Keith Rennie because they discover he's in on it or something. And like we're driving around the city. There's a bit of a car chase. That's sort of something. We wind up at a construction site. Exhibit is like, that's right. What you call it? Callum Keith Rennie is an organ transplant guy.
Oh, right, right, right.
So he's like one of those guys that like flies helicopters and drives stuff around real fast. And like there's a scene where like, so all this action stuff's happening. He's picking up an organ, you think. And he drops his bag, and Exhibit is like spending all his time like unzipping this thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, explosion. Oh, explosion. Come on, Exhibit.
Because that's, dude, the opening moments of that first movie where it's just kind of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Incredible.
It's fucking awesome.
That's the thing that they don't have any in this movie. There's no tension.
No, nothing.
They've never built it up.
There's no excitement. Like, this thing is the most exciting thing, and it's not really that exciting.
And so, like, Exhibit takes the cooler down. Mulder.
You're under arrest, cooler. Hold it right there, igloo.
Open slowly. Slowly.
And then Mulder and Amanda Peet are chasing after Callum Keith Rennie through this construction site. And this is...
Mm-hmm.
A truly great part of this movie.
It is pretty good.
Like, they're in, like, an elevator shaft kind of thing, and she's looking up, like, at a different floor, like, Mulder, I can't find him. Where is he? She looks back on the floor. He's right there in front of her, and he pushes her down this elevator shaft, and she gets a fucking Mortal Kombat bridge fatality.
It is a pretty great death.
Oh, my God.
Best elevator death since Mission Impossible.
Yes, oh. Emilio's, I think, is still number one. Yes,
number one. Definitely. Number one with a bullet.
But hot damn, dude. She falls down this shaft. It keeps going. It's like high up. High.
And I'm sitting up in my chair right then going, hot damn, we got ourselves a movie. It's going to be.
Yep.
It was a little snoozy for a while. Yep. Now it's going to hit the ground fucking running, and it's going to be nonstop.
No.
Awesome. No. Nope. It fucking takes a bath and then wraps a towel around his head and then goes to sleep.
We go back. Yeah, we go back to the pool and meet Canadian Mitch McConnell.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this dude does look like Mitch McConnell. It's awesome.
I hate this movie so much.
She does get a pretty cool, like, pipe rebar through the chest.
Rebar,
yeah, some
chest.
Rebar, man. God. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. Fucking.
I kind of want to go down and like, look at it a little bit and sort of see it go right through.
A little bit of a twitch, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Well, then it would make you think that they care about this.
She should be like puking up blood right like for a second right before she goes. It would be something.
It would be something. So, yeah, we go to the pool. We discover more information. Scully is not in this movie. Like, Mulder's like, hey, Scully, the movie's this way.
Right.
And she's like, no, I have to talk to
I have to go to work.
I'd love to hang out late tonight, Mulder, but I got to go to work.
Look, they're trying to reboot ER, and I'm giving it a shot here.
Oh, man, Catholic ER.
This is happening concurrently with the Scully screaming thing, I think.
Screaming
at Billy Connolly.
Oh, right.
Because Billy Connolly like winds up like convulsing and falls down. It turns out he is like late stage lung cancer.
Sure.
Another Scully diagnosis. But at least this one has something to do with the case.
Dude, she's diagnosing everybody, man. This woman's a fucking genius. she's talking about to the parents a bunch of this kid, like, do you get the surgery? Don't you get the surgery? The priest is hilarious. I love him so much.
Oh, this guy? Yeah, he's been in a bunch of
scummy dude.
Shit.
Yeah, he's just great. I don't know. So, like, the last bit of this movie is basically Mulder is chasing down this, like, in between research, Googling stem cell research. Scully's like, oh, it's this rare chemical. You might want to check that out, Mulder. I am way too busy. I'm swamped over here.
Yeah. Her research right here is awesome because you see her Google stem cell research, and she looks at the screen, and then she looks at a legal pad she has on her desk, and also then just writes stem cell research.
She's the world's greatest scientist, man.
Stick with what you know.
Yeah, dude. Like, you know what?
Wait till you hear about this, Scully.
Go find a bug person to arrest. Do not start cutting open kids in a fucking hospital.
Come on, there's got to be a witch somewhere in a fucking Oregon high school.
Remember when there was that episode where cockroaches were just killing people for no particular reason?
Night of the Cockaphages?
Yeah, just do that again.
Yeah, that's fucking bone chilling, dude. I would watch a feature of that.
Bunch of snails kill and eat people. Who cares?
Around here, she basically, like, her and Mulder have a big blowout. They break up.
That's right.
And she's basically saying, like, I'm a doctor now. I don't fucking do FBI shit anymore. I have not for years.
Yeah.
Even in like those last two seasons, she's not. I mean, she's doing like more doctor shit. And
you
she's
never
like,
get out, dude. It's like the mob.
She's teaching at like Quantico and whatnot. But yeah, dude, she gets pulled back in.
Yeah, you want to get out? You fucking leave in a body bag.
She says to Mulder though, because Mulder's like, listen. I like weird shit. My life is based around doing weird shit.
Yeah. These Catholic kids are weird shits.
To which Scully says, this stubbornness of yours, that's why I fell in love with you. And I was like, nobody's in love. Stop saying love. Like, no. The whole thing is
you
it's
fuck
all,
occasionally.
It's
Stop.
All unspoken, dude. Tension, it's all man. Unspoken.
Because then
fuck
it's
this.
Then we're just in the office, and Jim and Pam are together, and oh, what about Andy and Angela? And who's going to have sex with Ellie Kemper this week? No, it should have just been about office shenanigans.
And then Kevin didn't flush.
Exactly. That
exactly. I just want to see Kevin dropping chili on the floor, and that's the show.
That's the show.
I don't want to watch sad Ed Helms.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mulder goes to this vet office, and this is where he picks up Callum Keith Rennie.
Right.
And they're driving along. Callum Keith Rennie runs him off the road at this point with his... He's got that plow, man.
Classic
it's an all-purpose...
Plow truck.
And this is bad, man. Mulder's borrowed Scully's car.
Yeah, oh, that's right. And he's got
he
this
fucking
flip...
fucking wrecks it.
He's got this flip phone. So Scully's worried, and we call... Because I was... For most of this movie, I was like, you know what? No Skinner, no deal. That's my firm stance about the X-Files. No Skinner, no deal.
Yep.
And he just kind of shows up for a cameo.
I could not believe it. Mm-hmm. How? What the fuck, dude? Walter Skinner, he's right there.
Oh, but, so Amanda Peet is dead. You know, Scully calls up Exhibit. She's like, we don't know where Mulder is. What are we going to do? Oh, my God. And he's like, I can't help you. That's not the Bureau's problem. And she's like, I want to call somebody with some balls. And that's goodbye to Exhibit, everybody.
Yep. Uh-huh.
That's a wrap on Exhibit. He did nothing this entire movie.
Just out of the... Like, you got to kill both of those characters.
Yes, exactly.
Amanda Peet gets it. Callum Keith Rennie runs Exhibit off the road, maybe, into another hay bale.
You might not have picked up on it that we didn't talk about her at all, but, like, yeah, Amanda Peet does freaking nothing.
She wears a
movie.
Stupid hat, and then she gets pushed down an elevator shaft.
She kind of makes Scully jealous.
Yep, yeah, a tad, and we don't explore that at all.
But no, she's dead, and Exhibit's out of here.
What is sorry, I had sex with Amanda Peet, Scully. I have a sex addiction.
she had to go, Scully.
At least one of them should have been like used as a backup body for this mad science. Like Exhibit should have been like abducted or something.
Oh,
that would
right.
Have been something.
Cutting off Amanda Peet's arm.
Don't you start talking about steaks.
Human steaks?
Avocado.
Callum Keith Rennie's human steaks. Delicious.
Then there's a great thing where
great.
Well, no. It's humorous to me to watch, I guess is what I meant by great. But like when Scully decides she's going to get back in the fight, the way she does it is she decides to play the role of your uncle who inundates you with shit he finds on the internet, because she does like more Googling and then she's just printing out all of these articles about Soviet dog experiments. And I was like, yes, yeah, what? Why do we need the pronouns?
Mulder, this one's from the Huffington Post.
I've been there, Scully. I've done the same thing.
It's like, this isn't helping the case. What, are you going to read it in the car?
Mulder, here's all these Breitbart articles that I found.
Oh, no.
Have you heard of Ben Shapiro?
Skinner shows up. He's like, we're going to take care of this, Scully. Don't worry about it. Mulder wakes up. He finds his way to this facility. And, like, it's my favorite part of the whole movie. Callum Keith Rennie is chasing him around this facility. There's dogs everywhere. We do get this stupid shot of a Rottweiler with a fucking fake dog puppet on his shoulder.
Dude, this dog knows that he's being humiliated on camera, and I feel terrible
for
him.
They decapitated one of the puppets from Man's Best Friend and fucking, like, so this taped is, it, duct dude, taped it to this dog.
Better movie, by the way.
You know,
oh, my
better?
God, yes.
Oh, sure.
That's it. Oh, my God, yeah. Scully, this dog has been merged with a bunch of different animals.
This dog pisses acid.
Exactly.
Oh, no, a dog deer. Oh, no, a dog bear. Oh, no, a dog. Oh, no, wait. No, that's just a dog dog. That's okay.
dog. Dude, you know what is a better costume than this dog wearing a second dog head costume? When Homer has to make the Florida costume for Lisa and it's like two gray mattresses or
with
whatever.
With like an orange tape to it that falls off.
Absolutely better costume.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, I call him Gambler.
But but my favorite part of this is like this is Callum Keith Rainey is chasing him around. We do get this stupid insert shot of this dog, and then like Callum Keith Rainey's like, "Where did that Mulder go?" And there's this enormous dog house, and Callum Keith Rainey's like, "Well, a man wouldn't go into a dog house." It's like kind of keeps walking. Like, he'd a dog house. That's for dogs. He wouldn't go in there.
He'd have to pass the dog guards. And talk to the dog king.
Dude, I missed the shot of Mulder throwing out a hamburger at these dogs.
Oh, right.
That would have been great.
But then
I always carry this
hot dog links.
I was about to say that. He always carries, because he's a crazy person living in the woods.
Oh, actually, that was the greatest crossover that they ever did was X-Files on The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
That's A plus. Yeah. A plus.
The best.
Oh,
the absolute best.
Fox Mulder, FBI.
I just thought he could lose some weight.
The jiggling's almost hypnotizing.
Like a lava lamp.
That's a great episode.
It is a great episode. So Mulder gets hit over the head with whatever the fuck. At this point, the woman that has been abducted is about to get another head transplant. Because the guy, by the way, they keep putting him on these lady bodies. And he's just dying. Like, it's,
right.
You know what, dude? The science isn't there yet.
Yeah.
For whatever the fuck you're trying to do.
Why? And here's the thing. If we're using people and it's not quite all like put together, this procedure.
Sure.
That means there's some sort of clock running. Like, does this dude have a disease?
You take us to America? Yes, we do hand transplants on your head.
They like, we'll do it all the time, I guess.
Well, exactly. What they should be doing is trying to perfect it before they do it on their main dude.
Exactly.
You know, there should be a bunch of, like, hitchhikers and vagrants and just, you know, regular people that are, again, kidnapped and taken to this facility.
Right.
Just a bunch of, like, cats with, like, other dead cats' heads. Well, like,
isn't that sort of what
I mean, a pigeon with a rat on it.
Like, barely taped onto their fur.
Isn't that what that whole, they find
the movie Human Centipede is about? Yeah, it's mostly about that.
They find, like, that Billy Connolly leads them to that field, and when they start digging everything up, it's like multiple body parts.
Yes, they do, yeah.
It frozen in, I almost said permafrost, but it's just like a bunch of snow.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's supposed to be like, here's all the failed attempts at arm and other transplants. But
okay.
Again, yeah, we don't get that scene where we say what's going on. Ever.
I want it to be, we're trying to make an army of Frankensteins.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
How about that? That's a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the X-Files has done super soldier shit before.
But they also try to like suggest it's kind of a love story between these two men.
And that's the problem.
Right. And if they did the super soldier thing, they could be like, the way to take down America is insurrection from within. Yeah. You know? And then you have this undead army.
Then you would get some competent mad scientists.
Maybe it's a thing, actually. It's not a love thing. Maybe it's like he wants to make like a lady out of all these different parts and shit. Army of Frankenhookers, dude.
Sure.
That movie Frankenhooker?
It certainly was a movie. But
Frankenhooker is a better movie than X-Files, I want to believe.
Without a doubt.
Totally. Every Frank Hennenlotter movie is better than this movie.
Oh, Basket Case is a fucking masterpiece next to this.
So Brad Dourif couldn't be the mad scientist because he was in X-Files, right? So, I mean, you could have brought him back. No one would have cared.
Yeah.
You could get anyone to play this mad scientist, and it would have been something.
Also, people have played multiple roles on television shows a ton. Why not just bring back an actor that was competent?
Get
on
Richard
the show?
E. Grant in there. You know who was a fucking excellent? He was on an excellent episode of The X-Files, and he was like not quite super famous as he is now. Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. That's an exciting fucking episode of television, I'll tell you that much.
It totally is.
The best one for me is Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub, I just watched that episode.
That episode is
what's
incredible.
What's Shalhoub on?
His shadow is a black hole.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that one.
That one's amazing.
There are cool ideas. Anyway, so Mulder gets hit over the head. He's about to get... it's amazing. Like, this guy, Callum Keith Rennie, is doing all this other business before he cuts off Mulder's head.
Yep.
He's got this big axe. He's like, well, let me dismember this body. I'm like, no.
Get to it. Fucking figure it out.
Before he does it, Scully hits him over the head. And it's nice that she saves him. But who could care? And that's,
Skinner's also floating around right here.
Yes.
They're trying to find something. There is a terrible Walter Skinner line where they're like, where's the blah, blah, blah? And Scully's like, I don't know. And Skinner goes, well, I'll try to Google it.
I was like, yeah. God damn it. And he's got this enormous iPhone from 2008.
87 minutes. I timed it. That's the first Walter Skinner appearance.
Bullshit.
No, thank you. No, bullshit. Thank you.
Why bother?
Yeah.
If I was the actor, I would have been, yeah, why? If I was Mitch Pileggi, I'd be like, fuck you. Uh-huh. Put me in this movie.
Nah,
it's a check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big screen, my friend. I'll take it.
But yeah, so, that's true.
So she knocks him out, and then they go to inside the facility where this thing is going on. Skinner is like, everybody stop what they're doing. And then at this point, you see the sad head in a bucket of ice go, meat mop.
And also, the Russian scientist has already started carving into this woman's neck. And the guy is like, hey, man, I know you're walking in on this. It looks really fucked up. You're not wrong. But I kind of just started cutting this woman's head off. And I'd really like to finish that before everything goes south here.
I don't want to hit pause on cutting this woman's head off real quick.
Look, you're right. You're right. You're right. No, you're right. But just let me finish this.
So I guess the dude with the cutoff head just dies?
Yes, he just dies. And the woman, I think, lives, maybe.
I don't know that they address it.
I think she does.
Does she?
I who cares?
It just goes to the next day.
I have no idea.
They really started cutting into that head. So I don't know, man.
Scully puts a blanket over Mulder, and the movie is practically over.
Totally. It's like we cut to a few days later or something. Scully comes back to Mulder's compound, says that Father Joe has passed away. Mulder does not care.
But this is, and there's
what?
A big,
well, no, Mulder does kind of care. Yeah, because he starts saying that it's like an injustice to the guy's name because they smeared him for something?
No, the FBI is covering up the whole thing and saying that Father Joe was involved in the murders.
Which he probably was.
Yeah.
Like, are you shitting me that this guy was a real psychic? Like, what? He's connected to the, I don't believe it for a second. I think he was like, this like weird,
he's a monster.
He's bait for the FBI to
not looks like you're more of a Scully than a Mulder, dude.
Today I am with bad movies.
More of a Doggett than a Reyes.
But that's the thing too. To Eric's point, like in all X-Files things, it's never ambiguous.
Right.
It's always like you show the guy turn into a bug, but Scully doesn't see it. So at the end, she's like, he didn't turn into a bug.
Yeah.
And that's the whole fucking show.
Right.
But we, the audience, know he turned into a bug.
In the last shot, you see the Loch Ness Monster come out for real.
And you need to prove to me that Billy Connolly's a psychic. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Yes.
Somehow.
Like, he's bleeding from the eyes and all of that shit. Like, do something.
Do more than that. And because if that's, by the way, if that is the one X-Filesy element in your movie, that's what the movie's got to be about, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Because you didn't give me werewolves, motherfuck.
And like Scully cannot get off it with what did he mean by saying don't give up.
And she also, like, and this is their big impassioned speech, is like, well, I still believe and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I'm still a skeptic. We make it work, though.
But that's what's so fucking stupid. And it goes against how the show ended because the end of like the seventh season when David Duchovny left the show.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is like Scully sees him get abducted by aliens. Like
sure.
It happens. She sees it. And the start of season eight is like she's not a skeptic anymore, you know, as this new cast comes in or whatever. And the movie like kind of just glosses over that.
Oh, sure.
And it's like, but Mulder, I'm a doctor.
What
it's like, you fucking believed, man.
Wouldn't you just like break from logic at that point? Wouldn't you also go Teddy Kaczynski?
No, you become a very specialized medical doctor.
Yeah, I would. No, you
highly specialized medical. People kill for this job.
You would detach from reality. I'm sorry. This is no.
I agree with you, Chris. I'm like one bad day away from this.
And so we should be hitting fucking credits here, but instead it's back to the hospital Mulder is like, listen, do you want to do this surgery? This whole experimental surgery thing. It's a 3-part huge surgery. Yeah. She has done the first part. The parents are like, listen, I don't really know if we want to keep putting our kid through this, you know, via con Dios, dude. But Scully like sells him on it like a fucking bad car, you know, and she's like, but what if I did this surgery? And they're like, well, say. So she goes into the operating room. Mulder is like, listen, whatever you decide to do here, come back from the surgery, do it, don't do it. we can take off. We can go into hiding or whatever. She goes to this hospital, and it's like, is she going to do it? Is she not? There are these nuns taunting her from like right outside the door. And it's like, Dr. Scully, are you ready? Pause, pause. Way too long of a pause. Yes, let's do it. And it's like,
yes.
Okay.
It was her medical journey. The X-Files movie was her journey. What the fuck?
And the show has already addressed her like crises with her faith. Yes. It's been done on the show.
But also the best, so it's this really stoic, like, yes, I will do this surgery ending. And then like the rock music starts and this fucking credit sequence.
This has been the most
stoic, boring, full of itself movie that I've ever fucking seen in my entire life.
Oh yeah.
First credit. Picture of Chris Carter, and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
X-Files.
It's the best part of this movie, honestly.
It is. Everything picks up.
It's visually interesting. There's stuff going on.
The credits smash through a sheet of ice. The movie's
over.
Yeah.
I mean, for once, I sincerely mean the end credits is the best part, because it's the most cinematic.
And they're basically showing everyone who worked on the movie, like, whenever a credit shows up, you show the guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bowling team. Like,
it's like Lethal Weapon 4. Yes.
It's exactly like Lethal Weapon 4, dude. They should have used that cover of Why Can't We Be Friends?
And it's just...
That was the original version.
Yeah, I think it's the original.
We go through the whole damn thing. We see all the people who ever worked in this movie.
Dedicated to Randy Stone, the casting director who cast both of them in the TV show.
R.I.P. It's sad.
Totally.
D.
Daddy didn't have to see this fucking thing.
And the last shot is
X-Files meets R.I.P.D. investigating the rest of Peace Department.
Sure.
It's like, oh wait, Scully, it looks like they're actually licensed to do this. They're another organization.
No crime is being committed.
What were you saying, Steve?
The last shot of stupid credits, all the credits go up. We're in the water somehow.
Oh my God.
And it's a boat.
I had no idea what this was. I watched this in the end credits. I had to text you guys this morning to find out what it was.
We left the theater before this came up. I had never seen
of
this
course,
until last
angrily.
Night. Yeah, I was pissed.
And it's them in a boat.
A rowboat.
A rowboat. And they're just in some Caribbean whatever the fuck.
They're going to an island.
And they wave to the camera.
And... these are CGI
characters.
They look like Sims. These are not the actors.
Which is why I didn't know what was happening. I was like, is that the girl from the thing?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's just like...
No, it's there's some line in the fucking movie where, like, where would you most like to go? And, like, off to an island all by ourselves type of thing. And I'm like, who... I'm getting over you fucking, you know, giving sainthood to a pedophile. Like, I didn't think about your little fucking line about where you'd like to be.
And I didn't sign up for Sims.
Also.
Put him in a boat. Come on, put him in a boat.
It's just outrageous. This is a summer movie, by the way. July 25th release.
What a fucking Duke-tastrophe this movie is.
It followed The Dark Knight, so...
Oh, did it really?
It was, like, instantly tanked.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry, Heath Ledger. We're going to knock your last dead performance off with our excellent movie. Yeah.
If I would bury this. If I was Fox, I would fucking find a hole to put it in.
This should have been a television movie.
And they made such a big deal out of this.
They did.
The money that they spent advertising this movie. Ugh. And they made a big fucking deal about the premiere.
I was so excited going to the movie theater. I was pumped as fuck. Just a casual X-File viewer, and I was like, yeah, we're going to that X-File movie.
That first movie's so good.
That's an awesome movie.
It's really good. You got Martin Landau. That's the thing. You get Martin fucking Landau in there.
Sure.
Man. Class it up.
A little gravitas.
You got to go a little bit higher than Battlestar Galactica. Much as I love Battlestar Galactica.
Gotta go a little higher than Boondock Saints.
Yeah, it's a little higher. Aim higher.
And if you're gonna go Battlestar Galactica, bet Edward James Olmos.
Yes.
That's what the way to do it.
Yes.
You're fucking off the case. Oh, dude, he's the director of the FBI?
Absolutely. I'm gonna fucking put you in a box.
Yeah, dude, that'd be amazing.
Dude, I am terrified of Edward James Olmos. I wouldn't even want to see him in the street.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
I admire the man to all hell. He's an excellent actor, but I'm fucking scared of him.
He's fantastic.
It shows you how great of an actor he is, though, dude, because I have heard a firsthand account that he's one of the sweetest people.
Oh, of course, I'm sure.
But my bones get chilled. who's watching him on screen.
I like to think of him more warmly, like, and I'm still here, like, as the sage. Like, I'll sit you down, talk you through life.
Oh, sure.
You done with that? Oh, Jesus Christ.
The salt. Are you done? Can we
So that is the end of this fucking trash. Would anybody recommend it?
Not on your life. I honestly, it is one of the most boring movies that I've ever seen in my life. It gives you nothing. Nothing you want to see in a movie, or B, a movie based on the property. It's in a well-established property. It's got a formula. It's got a bone structure.
Yep.
Just do the thing.
And it's got such a rich history. You could have pulled from anything.
9 seasons and a previously made feature film. And again, you don't have to do the whole alien shit. I get it. Maybe that's tired, or you're tired of telling that story. I don't care. Do anything else. Fucking robots. Look, I don't care.
It was right there. Werewolves. It was right there.
Reptilians anytime.
Oh yeah,
they needed a new script and a new director.
They needed everything.
Chris Carter, no.
This is a fucking catastrophe.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. I don't know how else to explain it to you. And like,
Lord knows we tried here today.
And like, honestly, if you think about it, the whole thing is fucking God. Fucking Scully being put in her place by a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole fucking arc of the damn thing.
Yeah,
and
it
like,
sure is.
Honestly, fuck it. Fuck it to hell.
Yeah, I would also say fuck it. I think this is one of the worst movies we've done on the show because it's self-serious and it's stupid and it's bad and I just hate it.
And it had everything lined up for it.
Oh, definitely.
It just shouldn't have been this hard.
No.
Like, you could have made this movie and it could have been like, it's kind of bad, but at least it was an X-Files thing. Like, that's what I think about these two, like, new seasons. 10, I don't really like. 11, I thought most of it was actually okay. I haven't finished, like, the last two because I kind of don't want it to end like a nerd. But, like, those you can look at and they're like, it's not amazing, but it's something.
Yeah.
And this, yeah, it can fuck right off. I am, like, the biggest X-Files fan. This is embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
They all know it. They all know it's trash.
Oh, yeah.
It's just disgusting. What a supreme disappointment.
Just get away from Carter. Like, he's got to stop.
It's drumming up all this shit I felt 10 years ago. Like, it's a decade's worth of being pissed off about this movie.
Can I also say that I was like, wait, that's 10 years old? I thought this came out like a week ago.
We're getting to that age, guys. 2008 was you were like working in 2008.
I was working.
Yeah, we'll be dead soon, too.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's The X-Files, I want to believe, from 2008, directed, unfortunately, by Chris Carter. If you would like more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com, find us over on the HeadGum Network, or check out our Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. There is a shit ton of extra content you may not know about.
Speaking of science fiction television shows, at our $8 level, we have another podcast we do called The Nexus.
That's
where
right.
We review an episode of TNG and TOS back to back. And that comes out once a month.
Oh, and you know also, what,
Eric? I'm sorry. I've also heard that you don't have to like Star Trek to like that show.
That's no, not at all. No, for an example, just listen to any of the Star Trek movies we covered on this show previously.
And for fans of sci-fi trash, I mean, there we did a commentary on the Cloverfield Paradox.
That's right.
Man, you know what? The Cloverfield Paradox is a better movie than
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Can I just say, that movie sucks.
This month, if you signed up this month at that level, you'll unlock 21 episodes of The Nexus.
Oh, wow. Fuck.
You'll unlock how many commentaries? Four?
About six, I want to say.
Oh, my Lord.
Something like that, yeah.
So, you know what? Don't take my word for it. Go to patreon.com/WeHateMovies and check it out for yourself.
There you go. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Did you get burned by this in the theater like I did? I want to hear about it. I want to hear and read rage. About your pain.
Real rage, people.
And then next week, we're going back to a familiar kind of movie. Who wants to admit to the world what we're talking about next week? Oh, hey, cool. It's Larry the Cable Guy in Witless Protection. Oh,
sweet Jesus.
God, this one really sucks, man. I got to tell you.
The two towers of fucking Larry the Cable Guy movies.
Shit, man. He's like fucking voyaging across, Middle Earth.
Oh, hey, cool. It's a wizard.
Middle America.
So until next week, where Larry the Cable Guy strolls back into town, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric X. Filska.
Take it easy.
All right.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.